Triple M. Dead Set Legends here until 11:30 this morning. Then Triple M would be rocking football 12 minutes past 9 o'clock. You got Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo here. And an absolute shellacking last night, Rock. The Richmond Football Club way too good over the West Coast Eagles.
Yeah, they were. It was over at quarter time, realistically. 7-1 at quarter time. It didn't get any better for the Eagles from there. 12-2 at half time. They end up losing by 109 points. Concerning things over there in the West, that's for sure. They're really battling. They've got a really old list. They tilted another grand final.
Yep.
They went after Cali. That hasn't worked in hindsight, I don't think. They're going to have to rebuild now. They've given away 3 first round picks, I think it was, to get Cali over there. They were scored 138 points against them from turnover. So that's directly giving the ball back to the opposition. And then Richmond went through them, kicked an unbelievable score. I think it's the second most ever. And the interesting stat that popped up late last night was the percentage. So that tells you how your team's going. So, for instance, Port's percentage is actually okay, even though they're sitting on near the bottom of the ladder. But since the Giants came in, they were 51%. So they used to just get belted in their first year in 11 and 12. Gold Coast the same. And Melbourne, you think back to the dark days of Melbourne 2013. And that was affected by the 200 point loss or 180 point loss.
Yeah.
So currently West Coast sit at 54%, which is really low.
So that's the thing as well. So you got your win losses is one thing, but your percentage doesn't lie.
Yeah, that's right. Your percentage tells you how much you're getting beaten by. So for the fans that don't understand percentage at home, it's points for and against.
Yep.
And generally it's 100% if it's even. So if it's you've scored 100 and the opposition scored 100, it sits at 100.
The scary thing for me, Ferg, I don't know about you, but you go over and you look at your fixture down there. When are you playing West Coast at Perth? When are you playing them at Optus?
Yep.
Because it's a scary, it's a daunting task. So the last two teams have done it. Sydney, 121 to 58, knocked them off. And then obviously the Tigers last night, 109 point winners.
Yeah, it used to be a fortress, didn't it? You used to look at that fixture and kind of hope you weren't going over there. These days, you know, this season, it doesn't matter where you play West Coast.
No.
They're just not turning up at the moment. And that's the scary thing. You look at their list, and I saw Jason Dunstall's comments the other day talking about how you look at that list, there's plenty of talent there. It's not actually a talent issue at the moment. It's actually a work rate and, you know, just a standing up in big moments and a standing up for your teammates type situation here. They're not doing it.
No.
They're not turning up. And when it gets tough, they fold. And at the moment, you know, last night, that's quite a youngish Richmond side at the moment. They're missing a lot of their big guns. And they just steamrolled them. And it looked really, really ugly early.
Mm.
And it just got worse and worse and worse. The work rate didn't lift from West Coast. It was a pitiful display.
It's one of those scenarios that you don't like to say it, but the flag went up, doesn't it? Now you play West Coast, white flag goes up if you get a little run on. We've seen it last week here at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah.
Port Adelaide got a run on. The white flag went up. Their list isn't that bad, but it's not a fortress over there anymore.
No.
They've lost 8 out of their last 10. Is this a build-up from the COVID when they, 2020, if you take your mind back a couple of years, they said, we're going on the road for 5 weeks and then we're going straight back home. They end up being 0-5 at the start of that season. We know that there's players, certain key players, Nick Natanui, that are missing, but I don't know where to for them. They've got a full rebuild. Adam Simpson, is he the right man to lead them through the rebuild?
So this is the thing that I want to ask, because Leon Cameron is right at the top of the tree. The pressure gauge is right on there. Ken Hinckley as well at Port Adelaide. Yep. Stewie Jew at Gold Coast. I reckon Adam Simpson, surely you're starting to feel the heat now.
He'd have to be. And I actually, talking about that COVID situation back in 2020, I look back to some of the comments that the coach made. And he's the guy, he's the face of, he's the guy that everyone looks to at the club, whether it be player, staff, or fans, or opposition.
Yeah.
And Simpson was coming out and whinging, might be a bit strong, but he was whinging, in my opinion, about the situation and the scenario they were finding themselves in. And I think that can creep into the mindset of the playing group, and I don't think that looked good, and it's been down south and downhill since then.
Yeah, well said. 0488 51047 as well to get involved with the show. And I look down. Breakfast have gone after our boy Rocky Ferg, and we don't like that. We don't accept that at all.
That was disgraceful. It took him about a week to come up with a decent comeback, too. They only played that yesterday, and Rocky spoke about a week ago.
The only ones that can come after me are you two boys.
Exactly right. We're going to get to that next. Triple M, Dead Set Legends. 104.7 Triple M. We are also on Listener. And there's trouble in the camp here at Triple M, clearly. The shows are fighting against each other. Breakfast, Rush Hour, Dead Set Legends, and now Dead Set Legends and Breakfast. So this is a worry, Rock.
Yeah, it is. They've come after me. I went to defend myself. They were on that podcast, The Bump.
Yes.
Rue and Ditz went after me, so I just gave them a little clip on the way through.
Yeah, here's how it went down.
Mark Ricciuto.
Oh, yes.
Oh, the Ricciuto.
Oh, the board member.
He wants to nickname me Kane, I heard.
Oh yes.
He should be thanking me for firing his team up last week. And after all, he asked me to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And say that. He was the one that gave me all that information and told me to say it.
He did too.
Maybe he should just stop going, yeah.
Right, so his way of defending himself from sounding like Kane Corns is to behave like Kane Corns. Is that...
Very good.
Cheap and dirty. Mm. Can't come up with original content. Just comes after us.
Tommy, I wonder what his next big outlandish
statement is
going to be. Tommy
Rockliffe, you need eyes in the back of your head.
Did you hear what he said yesterday?
What?
We should get rid of Ruckman.
What?
Great idea, Tommy.
Really? Mm. What, should everyone run around like him just getting 45 touches doing nothing?
Well, on the Automaster's text line, a bloke should have about banning blokes who can't kick over a jam.
Oh, there you go.
So you said, Ferg, it took him a week to come up with that.
Yeah.
And not even that great of a response. So put a little list together in 30 seconds last night to go back at him. So
Good.
You boys can join in whenever you want. Hados.
I'll start the anchor.
Just stick to the voicemail. It's all you're good at.
Whack.
Chris Dittmar. Now, I played golf with him.
Oh, did you?
And we, 18 holes a week. We won by 14. Me and Butch beat him and his son.
Yeah,
14
right.
holes up.
Wow.
He was wearing a crow's hat. So he's jumped ship.
Hang on,
has he?
Yes, wearing a crow's hat out on the golf course. Disgraceful behaviour.
Oh, did.
Turncoat.
And he was world number one at badminton for 12 hours.
Badminton.
If that, it was badminton, wasn't it? No one cares what he played.
Croquet, I think.
What? And Loz, who even is this person?
Yeah, Loz. Well, she's changed. Obviously, she wiped me off like a dirty ass.
I've heard this.
You boys picked me up, luckily, because she cut our weekend breakfast show in half and signed for a massive contract with Rue Ditz. And this time last year, Loz was stealing plants from Triple M, and now she's behind the glass in a corporate box today.
It's
unbelievable, Sand. You can't make this stuff up.
No, and she's very good. All she does is ride coattails her whole life. She rode your coattails in breakfast, and now she's on the back of Rue and Ditz, that show. She's riding those coattails. She needs to get back to the cast wine in the back seat of her car, love. Get back there. And Rue.
Oh, no.
And Rue.
Oh, no.
Mr. Triple M, Mr. Adelaide himself. He had a crack at me about no rucks. He obviously didn't see the humour side of it because he doesn't have a funny bone in his body at all. He's boring. It's no wonder Josh Carr belted him at the Rams game.
Oh, no, we got him there. Triple M. Triple M. This is Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom, a beautiful day around the City of Churches today, 9 minutes away from 10 o'clock. And, boys, we opened up the show with a bit of revenge, it's fair to say, because the breakfast crew, Rue, Ditz and Loz, just went after our boy Rocky Ferg, and we don't like that, do we?
No, it was low. It was real low, and it took him a week to come up with it, too. It was disgraceful. Could barely make out what they were saying. They were talking all over each other. It was just really poorly put together.
It was pretty ordinary, actually, and you went after Loz quite hard, actually, Rock.
Yeah, well, that was fair, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was warranted. Yeah.
She's left all these... I heard Bluey speaking yesterday about the three ham and cheese toasties she's had. She's left it in a mess again today. There's breadcrumbs everywhere.
I know, there's crumbs.
Seagulls flying around.
Absolutely everywhere. The thing that I do... I have a little bit of respect for Loz for doing this, though, because she doesn't always just jump on her own show and try and clip us. She jumps on ours and she joins us right now. Hello, Loz.
Oh, hello. Is that Mark Thomas? Sorry, I think we're strangers now. Oh, I don't know.
Come on, Loz. What the hell?
I don't call you a friend anymore. No. We've been working together for 5 years, and the second someone who's played AFL says anything about me, you're right in there with them.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. You flicked him. You flicked him and took a breakfast gig and said, see you later, Tomo. Fend for yourself.
Tomo who?
We picked him up.
100%.
They didn't want him, and they offered me the job, so I don't know what would you do, Rock?
We know what Rock would do.
Rock, by the way.
Loyalty. Look after his mate.
Blood's thicker than
water.
By the
way.
That's it.
If you want to talk about loyalty, you should hear what Tomo says about you when you're not around.
Hang on a second.
Yeah, no, I'd say that to his face too.
No, he says, you know, Rock's having a whinge if his lips are moving.
Oh. No, this is classic divide and conquer going on here, Loz.
You didn't know who I was. When I saw you walk in, I thought you were the electrician. I swear to God.
And Loz, you know, like, he's wearing a backwards cap at the moment, our boy Rock.
Well, hang on.
And you don't like that, do you?
Fresh Prince energy, mate. Come on.
I'm only 29, though.
Stone.
Mark.
Yes, Loz.
Coattails. You want to talk about coattails? You spent so much time on my coattails, you had a recliner chair put in, mate.
It's
and not, a footrest.
It's not your best. How is that?
Not my best! How dare you!
Enjoy the corporate box today, mate. We're just running out of time.
Oh, I will.
Very comfy.
There, mate.
Loz, how's that plant going that you stole from Triple M?
It's dead. Ooh. Yeah, it's symbolic of my relationship with Mark.
Triple M, thank you, Loz. Triple M, Dead Set Legends, 27 minutes away from 10 o'clock. You got, I forgot the names, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom. I actually forgot which show I was on there for a bit. You can get
four
us on
shows.
You can get us on the listener app too, LISAT. And right now, boys, we're talking about milestone miracles. Well, not miracles, but just magic, because last night was a fantastic effort by Tom Lynch. 7 goals he kicked in his 200th game, and here's how we called it here at Triple M.
Tommy, and 25 for the Tigers.
Takes a lot of courage, obviously, to dominate a milestone game. So we've looked back through history, Ferg, and we've found some beauties.
Well, we have. You've got to look back to, in cricket terms, how did guys go in their 100th test or 100th, you know, first class game or anything of that nature? Well, Joe Root stands out.
Yeah, that was
he
a good
made
one.
A 200 in his 100th test, which is a remarkable effort, really.
Great
you think
effort.
About that under pressure in your big game. Well, he stood up.
The only ever player to do that as well.
Yeah, that's right.
In history.
It's an incredible effort, really. Looking at the Australian team, though,
yeah,
the
here
one
we
that
go.
Really matters.
Yeah.
Ricky Ponting, the great Ricky Ponting, used to carry the Australian side up on his shoulders and say, "Come with me, boys." Well, he certainly did that in his 100th test at the SCG, as we have a little listen here.
Go, Jack!
Oh! Oh, Ricky Ponting, the only player in history to score hundreds in each innings of his 100th test match. This is an extraordinary achievement.
Oh, tingles down the spine, that.
100 in both innings.
Both innings.
What a performance that
whack,
is.
Whack.
Under pressure, you know, 100th test. Everyone's eyes are on you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he turned up, didn't he?
Yeah, 100%. Gee whiz. Now, Rocky, you actually played in this game. The miracle on grass, it's called. It was Andrew McGrath's 200th game, I should say.
McGrath.
Andrew.
Is it Andrew? No, Ashley. I've had a Mary.
Ash McGrath,
I've had a Mary.
200 games, and he boyhood dream. Took a mark and went back and kicked it after the siren. Do we have audio of it?
Ashley McGrath in his 200th game. A behind will create a draw, a goal will give the Lions an incredible victory. Ash McGrath comes in, it's on its way, it's there! The miracle on grass!
So you were 57 points down in that game.
Yeah, something like that during the third quarter. And I think even at three-quarter time, we still were 7 or 8 goals. And we just got this momentum run at the Gabba and went bananas. And,
incredible.
And didn't we celebrate like we won the grand final that night? We'd come back from nowhere. And Geelong were reigning premiers, I think, at the time, or certainly up there. And we were down the bottom as we were at Brisbane at the time. And I think we had a 6-day turnaround. I think we got pounded the next week. But it was a good win.
It was all worth it, though. What about you guys? Obviously, you've played 200-odd games. Rocky, how did you go in any milestones? Anything?
I don't think I performed that well. I think my 100th game at the MCG, I think we played Collingwood, and we actually beat them that night quite convincingly. Nice. I think I had 43 that night.
Just a 43.
Just a 43, lazy. Anything for you? Anything for you, Ferg?
I played 100 first-class games, and then also followed that up with 100 Sheffield Shield games. In the 100 first-class games situation at the Wacker, I just peeled off 100. a couple of years later, in my 100th Sheffield Shield game at the G against the Vicks, I peeled off 180.
Oh, God. And I'm hearing real tough pitches too. Flat as a tack. Triple M. Good morning to you, South Australia. 19 minutes away from 10 o'clock. Dead Set Legends Tom Rockliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tomo here until 11.30 this morning. Then Triple M will be rocking a football. Massive game today down at the Adelaide Oval. Rock, the Adelaide Crows take on the GWS Giants. How do you see it?
Yeah, 1.40 today at Adelaide Oval. Here, all the action live on Triple M. It's going to be a stoppage fest, I think, this game. We spoke last week when they took on the Western Bulldogs that if it was a stoppage game, contest game, it really suited the Crows down to the ground. And that's going to be exactly the same because the Giants play a very similar brand. They're number two in the competition for winning clearance against their opposition. The Crows are number one for scoring from stoppage, number one from score from their front half as well. And GWS are number two in the comp from scores from centre bounce. So it all points to a stoppage fest, this game. So whoever can win it around there is going to win this game today.
So the Crows will try and make it scrappy like they did in Ballarat last week. Obviously, they've got some free-flowing players, the GWS Giants. You reckon that'll be the way to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think the Giants are playing a similar game style. So it's going to be whoever wins that arm wrestle of getting on top around clearance and then scoring from there. So it's not going to be an open, free-flowing game, I don't think, and both clubs will be very happy with that. We've spoken at length about how the Crows have played and performed this year. They're starting to find that identity, I think, as a stoppage contest team.
The interesting one for me, Ferg, and obviously being involved in elite sport, I reckon this is the first time the Crows go in favourites to a game. Okay, I just looked up the odds. They're favourite there with the bookies as well. So there's got to be some sort of mental challenge today as well, because you know you can go out and do what you did against the Richmond Tigers or do what you did against Western Bulldogs. When you're actually favourite, you know, it's a lot easier coming in as the underdog.
Yeah, it certainly can be. But one of the things I think the Crows have got it at, as an advantage at the moment in that scenario is the youth in their side. So I actually feel like that overriding feeling of confidence is actually going to suit the Crows and won't be, you know, so much of that, oh, now we're expected to win. I actually feel like that confidence will be the overarching feel around that team. And I think that's the real advantage. They won't be so worried about the young players, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I look at Ginnivan from Collingwood. He's riding a wave at the moment and he's flying. He's not worried about the expectation at the moment because he's got the confidence. He hasn't had too many knocks so far. So sometimes with the more experienced teams, that can be a bit more of an impact, I think, that expectation that can change the mindset. I like the Crows. I think they're flying at the moment. The confidence, I'm backing the Crows. The form line's not good for GWS. Mm. They've taken a pounding over the last month. I feel like the Crows today.
Is there a part of something as well in terms of playing for your coach as well? Rock, obviously, when you're up at Brisbane, Michael Voss was under a whole heap of pressure. If you're playing for your coach, is that an opportunity to get up for that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it gets mentioned a lot in footy around your coach is under pressure and the external noise around that. So the GWS Giants, from all reports, love Leon Cameron, want him to continue on as coach. So I expect a bold showing from them. And I think you're onto something. I agree with you, Tomo, that the pressure now on these young Crows to go into a game they're expected to win, we'll see how they react. But I think it'll be a really good game of footy.
Bloody oath.
I'm really looking forward to this one. I'll be down there on the boundary. And I think the Crows will win as well. I think they are ticking the right boxes at the moment. They're identified that they want to be this contest dogfight team. I think Matty Nick said that. And they've been able to do that the last few weeks. And they're in games. And they're either going to be very close and be there right at the end, which we've seen numerous times this season already from them.
Yeah, and I'm keen to talk about Tex.
Yeah, how good.
I mean, how well is he going at the moment? He's dragging a lot of good players around him, good young talented players are up with him too. So I think having that beacon up forward has really straightened them up, and I feel like they've got a lot of confidence going forward now. Young players like Keys, Rochelle have been fantastic, but Dawson has really sharpened that edge going inside forward 50 with Tex in there now and some young forwards that with confidence climbing. Those two have had a real impact, Dawson and Tex.
Would you sign him tomorrow, Rock?
Yeah, I'd give him 2 years.
You'd give him 2 years?
At least 1 year with an incentive for...
Like a trigger?
Yeah, a games or performance-based. I think he straightens him up, and you talk about the class. His field kicking is as good as anyone in the competition. Yeah.
And it's been said all over in Australian media, he is the sweetest kick at the moment of the football.
Yeah.
Just sounds great off his boot. Obviously, we just get the microphones on the sidelines, but it just sounds crisp, doesn't come off his boot.
Yep, crows for me as well. Well, coming up after 10 o'clock, we will preview the Port Adelaide versus St Kilda Football Club game up in Cairns. We'll get to that after 10. But home and away next, Triple M. 10 o'clock, family. Good morning to you. A couple of minutes past 10. Dead Set Legend here, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. Massive hour coming up. Giving away a couple of $100 meat packs, if you don't mind.
Yes, please.
The old K-Roo, which would be brilliant. We'll open up the phones at the back end of the hour. But, Rocky, we want to talk fixturing right now with a floating fixture. It seems like a good idea at the time, but last night was an absolute snooze fest.
Yeah, it did at the time. They sold us at a floating fixture. They want to put blockbusters on Friday nights or Thursday nights in those big time slots, which is, I think everyone can handle that and understand that you want the big games in the prime time slots. So they've released the next three rounds, and last night we knew it was an absolute snooze fest.
Well, I went to bed at halftime. I checked out pretty well halfway through the second quarter, to be honest.
And it's no good for fans wanting to get to games and whatnot. It puts everyone out. So you want crowds there.
Yep.
And the next three, four rounds have been released. We've seen that happen this week. And Essendon have ended up with three Friday night games.
Yeah, how does that work?
Yeah.
How does that work?
They're banking on them coming good. I know that there's buys in there, so they're trying to manipulate it so that they have the big time slots. But when you've got a team down the bottom, your chance to keep viewers is going to be very slim.
Well, I'm an Essendon fan, and they have a great history of being a draw card team, even when they haven't been absolutely flying. They get good crowds in, which comes across well on TV, et cetera. But there's got to be better options than Essendon at the moment on a Friday night.
So now, how many games have Essendon won?
One game.
Against the Crows. So why don't we put 3 weeks in North Melbourne on a Friday night? There's no difference. In terms of winning and playing, there's no difference. It's all about crowds, though.
It's all about crowds, I think. But the problem is, that not only is it Essendon, you could argue slightly, I reckon, for the Essendon-Carlton game. The St Kilda-Essendon one, I'm not sure I'm flying the flag for that one. West Coast-Essendon
on a Friday night. Give me a spell.
What are they doing?
That is unbelievable.
And the double headers on Friday nights as well, that's got to go. Yeah, two games on Friday night, the overlap, you can't stay with it. And I think initially it was really good, the floating fixture, the fans were for it, but this really puts out fans because they can't book in advance now. No. You can't book your flights. You can't book your accommodation because you don't know when your team's going to play down the track and get those cheap flights.
Well, the only argument for the floating fixture is that you get the right games on 100%. At the right time. Well, they haven't got the right games on at the right time. Those three games right there, apart from maybe Essendon and Carlton, it's the only one you can argue for. The other two, seriously, give me a break. There's got to be other games that are going to be bigger blockbusters than those on a Friday night.
So West Coast and Essendon, they've won two games between them, and we've had a massive week at work. Can't wait to watch Friday night footy. Let's turn this bastard
beauty.
On. Seriously.
West Coast again.
Give me an absolute spell. Wow. Coming up next, boys, the Port Adelaide game up in Cairns versus St Kilda. We're going to preview that and see if we can pick a winner out of it. Men at Work, Down Under, Triple M. Triple M, Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom, a beautiful day around the City of Churches today.
Again?
20, yeah, Dead Set Legends roll in. Sunshine, shock horror. Port Adelaide Football Club up to Cairns. Looking forward to this game, actually, taking on the St Kilda Football Club. Rock, how do you see it playing out?
Yeah, it'll be a good contest. If Port Adelaide play the way they did at the back half of last week, the last three quarters, they should be right in this game. Marshall out for St Kilda is a big one.
It's a win.
When Ryder and Marshall play, I think they run at about 70% of winning games, which is right up there, really high. St Kilda are a marked team. Their efficiency going forward is very good. So Port Adelaide's defence is going to have to be very sound tonight. They're number one when they enter 50, St Kilda, to kick a score, and number two in the competition for a goal. So at the moment, every time they go inside 50, they're scoring on half of them, which is really good. Port Adelaide, we know how they're playing at the moment. They're finding a lot of the ball. They're taking a lot of marks. Their stoppages are very high. Again, they're kicking a lot sideways this year. So they're 17th in the competition for actually going forward with the ball. So I think that changed a little bit last week and they started to be a bit more attacking, a bit more aggressive. It looks like Robbie Gray will play, get up. They've spoken about their travel. We'll get into that a little bit later.
We will.
But I'm leaning towards Port Adelaide. I think last week might have given them a kick that they needed and they might take a bit of momentum going forward.
Quick one. Max King and Jack Higgins. Who goes to them? Because they're the scoring power up forward and Higgins has been on fire the last probably 3 weeks, last month even.
I think Burton will go to Higgins.
Yep.
He does pretty well on those lockdowns and speedy types. He can influence a game that way, but then also find the footy. And I'd imagine Cleary, he normally goes to King and with support from Jonas and Aaliyah coming off their opponents.
A couple of guys at the Saints that have made a real difference are the ones just mentioned. But another guy this year, Jack Sinclair, has really stood up. Mm. He's been very good in the forward half for St Kilda. Is he someone that the Power need to watch a bit closer than perhaps they might have in the past, or will they probably put a bit more time into Steele again?
No, I think they will, because as I said before, they're very efficient going forward, and Sinclair's one of them that delivers the ball really, really classily. Steele's their main,
he's
their main cog in the middle, so they'll definitely put time into him. Will we see Rosie go through there? I think they'll persist with him in the midfield. He had a really good game last week.
Love that.
Butters was a bit under the weather last week. He actually was in hospital at one point during the week with illness, but he got out and he was up and about. So I think they're in position. This should be a cracking game. The disappointing thing is it's up in Cairns, so we don't know what you're going to get. Humidity will be through the roof. So,
have you played in Cairns, or have you done Darwin or Alice Springs? And what's that like, Rock?
Yeah, it is. It's they're very just sweaty, so you're just wet the whole time, even though it could be 30 degrees type thing. So it's just going to be one of those games where you almost play wet weather footy. The territory game is going to be important. I think it's going to be very low scoring. Mm-hmm. 70 points will probably win the game up there. So you've just got to make sure you take your opportunities when they come. You've got to kick the goals.
And a quick one. What was wrong with Butters? Why was he in hospital?
I think he just had a bit of a buggy. I seen him after the game. He was spewing. So So he battled through and did it quite well. We seen him actually go to the goal square when Robbie Gray went off. He spent a fair bit of time forward. So I expect him to bounce back to his best this week.
You're tipping Port. Who you got, Ferg?
I'm going Port as well. I reckon Jack Hayes is going to be a bigger issue for St Kilda, missing now. Obviously, Ryder back in, but I think it throws their balance out. They had a really good thing going with that extra mobile tall, so I think that's going to hurt them.
St Kilda for me, actually. So, I think it'll be a good game of footy, and we'll see how we go. Coming up next, Rusty. We'll get the big fella on. Rusty's Motorsport update for Bendix. Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence. We'll get the big fella on and talk all things motorsport next. Dead Set Legends. Triple M, Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. Beautiful day around the city of churches today. 15 minutes past 10 o'clock. Triple M rocking football from 11:30 today. And Nick Kyrgios was the big story this week, boys.
Can find a headline.
Well, seriously, and he's gone and played in a charity basketball game, and he just took the piss, really.
He took it
just a little bit too seriously. He was block and miss world. He was trash talking, someone who was in a wheelchair. Like, I would just love to see this sort of effort in the Aussie Open. honestly, it was an absolute nightmare. Steve Carfino, a basketball legend, didn't miss him when he had a few words to say about Nick Kyrgios.
I'm going to go on the record right here. Man, put the camera on me. What a jerk. Oh, my goodness. Man, what lack of sportsmanship. He's blocking girls' shots. He's not passing to his teammates. This is a celebrity game. There were to be funds to be raised for Starlight Foundation. It was ridiculous. It was unsportsmanlike. I think it wasn't the right moment to show how dominant you can be against Australia's contestant for Miss World. He's trying to block her shot. He's going hard, blocking the shot of the premier, didn't come out, refused to come out of the game. It was a celebrity game. Know where you're at.
Jeez, Steve really didn't see the funny side
of that. He didn't.
I'll tell you what, talking about that style of game where it's a bit of a laugh and everyone's having a bit of fun, takes me back to the AIS Cricket Academy up in Brisbane. So it's absolutely tipping it on us. Rain for days up in Queensland. We were at AB Field and Tim Nielsen said, right, tomorrow bring your footy Guernseys, boys. Ooh, we're having a game.
So good.
Sight screens at each end with the goals. And we had a draft that night. It was all happening with a couple of beers. And anyway, Sean Tate and Adam Voges line up at full forward and full back. Big Sloan liked himself up forward. He thought he had a decent leg on him and some decent jukes. He was wrong. But anyway, Sean Tate lining up at full forward. Ball gets bombed long. Tim Payne streaming out of the centre with the ball after Dougie Bollinger dug the rugs, tapped it down his throat, bombs it onto Adam Voges's lid, sitting under the ball, just a sitting duck. Sean Tate takes a run up, pushing off the sight screen like he normally does, and sticks a knee straight into his scapula, right shoulder, spills the mark, and Vogues is down for about 10 minutes, limping around with this shoulder hanging. Anyway, happens again, streaming out of the centre. George Bailey this time on the left leg, not bad, too.
The Tasmanian's on fire.
On fire out. For once. Anyways, put it right out in front of Tate. Tatey's on the lead, looks straight down his gullet for all money. Vogesy, no ankle tap,
boots his feet out from under him on the lead. Oh. Tatey just loses balance, cops a falcon, hands nowhere near it, and just goes sliding across the carpet for about 10 metres.
Oh, man.
Clutching his ankle. Like, honestly, Bogsy's wind up on this kick on his feet was unbelievable. And let's just say they had their throats each other's for about 5-10 minutes afterwards.
Oh, really?
Trying to split them up. It was proper. Oh, yeah, she was unbelievable.
On. Punch on.
Yeah. Oh, not happy. Apart. Like, proper shirt punches going on. Ready right on go. The chins, yep.
It reminds me of charity games. EJ Witten game, I think Andrew Jarman turned up and took it a little bit serious, but it didn't quite go as well for him.
These days, Spearing.
Oh, no, he's having a nightmare.
Oh, Jarman. Now, gee whiz, Jarman. What is he doing? Malcolm Blight's friendship with him won't have got any better as a result of his start here tonight.
He is having a legitimate mare, Jars.
I think he was fumbling, no. Ferg.
He's having a mare, they reckon. We need to get the tapes out for that. I need to see it.
19 past 10. 23 minutes past 10 o'clock. You got your Dead Set Legends here until 11:30, and then Triple M will be rocking football.
Triple M. This motorsport update with Rusty is brought to you by Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
On the line is our good mate Greg Rust from Rusty's Garage podcast, which is flying as well,
Rusty.
Boys. You can get it for free on the listener app. He joins us right now. Rusty, hello, mate. Rusty, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. You going all right, mate?
I'm fantastic, and you?
Yeah, we're going well. Now, the supercars are in WA for some night racing. This is going to be brilliant. Shane Van Gisbergen leads the Drivers' Championship by 144 points, but he won't necessarily have it all his own way this weekend.
Firstly, great to have them back in the West. First time since 2019, obviously, with all the pandemic and border issues in between time. They're going racing under lights tonight.
Mm.
It's a compact race weekend, so the practice will happen this afternoon. Then they've got two races tomorrow during the day as well. And a lot of people feel that the surface there in WA, under the sunshine tomorrow, they'll go hard under lights tonight, no problem. But tomorrow, it might catch a few people out with the abrasiveness of the place. So that could mix things up tomorrow afternoon, that's for sure.
Yeah. And Mercedes, Toto Wolff's come out and apologised to Lewis Hamilton for basically giving him an undrivable car in Italy, but his teammate George Russell managed to finish fourth. What's going on there, Rusty?
It's got Formula One fans in a bit of a tiz. So if you do a deep dive, there are reasons for Hamilton's performance, but a lot of people are highlighting that George Russell is the only driver in the field to finish in the top five in every Grand Prix so far this season. So he keeps delivering, right? Now, he's actually got, out of last weekend's round in Italy, he's actually got a back injury because of the behaviour of that car and what it's doing.
Wow.
They're bringing a raft of updates to Miami next weekend. They will turn that car around at some point, but I reckon it's from a driver's championship perspective for Lewis, it's probably gone for this year for sure.
Gee whiz. And I've also heard there's a bit of a problem with the race directors for the next round in Miami. Both the refs have COVID, don't they?
No, surely not.
Yeah, bang on, yes. So this is a pretty rare set of circumstances. Listeners to the program will remember the Australian Michael Massey and the way that he was treated, I think, quite unfairly at the end of last season.
Big time.
They basically replaced him with two rotating race directors. Now, both of them were in Italy. Both have come down with COVID, and it's now a race against time to hopefully get one of them clear in time for the Miami weekend. Now, people have wondered, will they give Michael Massey another go? That's probably unlikely. We're yet to see where he'll turn up in the framework. They do have a plan B and a plan C, but yeah, bit of crazy stuff happening in the lead up to Miami next weekend, which will be cool.
Sure is. Now we'll turn our attention to the MotoGP. Jack Miller, he says every lap is like qualifying now. It's very difficult to pass in the modern era of championship.
Yeah, it is. And if you look at the numbers, there's a very respected website globally called motorsport.com, and they've crunched some numbers, right? So there have been four different riders on four different makes of bike that have won in the opening, I think, five events of the championship so far. The other spots on the podium have been taken by 10 different riders. So you've got some incredible variety there at the moment. But the bikes are all at this level where Miller's talking like you've got to almost, in every lap of the GP, be laying down a qualifier. And as you boys can appreciate, I mean, that's enormously difficult, right? So To do that, to be on edge like that for the entire length of the GP and to pass people is making things pretty tough, but it underscores just how good that championship is right now.
Tremendous insight there, Rusty. Thanks so much for that. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Rusty.
Have a rip weekend.
See you, mate.
That's Rusty for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
18 minutes away from 11 o'clock for your Saturday morning. Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockcliffe, Cow Ferguson and Tomo. Triple M rocking football from half past 11 today. And yeah, it's been an interesting 24, 48 hours for the Port Adelaide Football Club, Rock, that have been stuck in Sydney overnight.
Yeah, they have. So it's back page of the paper today, Travel Bugs. And they had to fly Thursday night, 6, 7 o'clock flight to Sydney, stay there the night, then fly up to Cairns yesterday afternoon at 2 o'clock,
yep.
Go and have a training run after that. And they didn't get back to the hotel until around 8 or 9 last night.
Yep, and here's what Charlie Dixon had to say on another radio station.
It's a bit of an absolute shit show here, mate. It's a bit silly, really. I mean, there is a direct flight. I know we've got a partnership with Virgin and all that sort of stuff, but to get people to where they need to be straight away and to keep us out of harm's way, as they say, you'd think you'd want to just put us on a Jetstar flight, which leaves, you know, 6 o'clock yesterday morning.
Now, I just think that's, I think it's nearly sucking it up, to be honest. Like, in for everything that the whole community's gone through over the past couple of years with the borders being shut and whatever, people have, you know, lost their jobs, lost their incomes with it all. Surely it can't be that big a deal that we fly from Adelaide to Sydney and then Sydney to Cairns to go play a game of football.
Yeah,
surely.
I was disappointed to hear that. I thought that, you know, the situation they found themselves in, yes, they've got to go play at Cazaly's. It's a bit different. You've got to do that during the footy season from time to time. We see teams go to Alice. We see teams go to Darwin. Sometimes the travel looks a bit different. And I quite like Ken's reaction saying, you know, it's a bit different. It's unusual, but it's nothing we can't deal with. I get concerned when you hear senior players or senior parts of the setup come out and say things like that. I hesitantly... you know, tie a link in with the West Coast situation a couple of years ago in the hub. They didn't like it and it went really poorly for them. I worry, because Port's got a bit going for it after the West Coast game, I worry that it's just something that might distract them and give them a reason why to opt out of a couple of contests. Just something sitting in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, have we got an excuse here? I don't like it. I just didn't feel, it didn't sit right.
Rock, you're the other way on this. Obviously, you're the one that's been involved in the situation and played for the Port Adelaide Football Club. Your thoughts, please?
Yeah, I think it's comical, to be honest.
Comical?
That they're flying there. They put them on public flights. So they talk about these COVID restrictions limiting their dealings with the public. So they're going to fly them to Sydney, mm-hmm. where there's a lot more people, then send them to a hotel room, spend the day in Sydney, on a plane from Sydney up to Cairns. It's comical. They're talking about a group of COVID restrictions on these players for the last couple of years, where in the final series last year, they couldn't go to a Westfield to collect groceries and expose themselves to possible COVID. Now it's just gloves off and fend for yourself, pretty much. They're getting a charter flight home. So why couldn't they charter a flight up there originally? Why are they going two nights before? There's so much wrong with this. They've been wearing masks while doing weights of late.
Mm.
And now they're putting them on public planes and in public spaces and then exposing them to a higher risk of catching COVID. So I can see where they're coming from. This might be a bit of a hangover from the last couple of years, how hard they've had to do it around staying away from the public and trying to limit their exposure to COVID. And now you just go and throw them on a plane, leave them in mm-hmm. Sydney. So that's where I think they're coming from. I don't think it's necessarily preparation-wise. Yeah, it's far from ideal preparation-wise doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But flying to Sydney, keeping them there for the night, I think it's comical.
It's interesting. I think they've got to now put a positive spin on it. And I think the public perception of what's been said is the concern. And then whether that mentally starts to deteriorate their mindset going into the game, you've got to be very careful with what you put out in the public space. I think they've got to try and turn it on its head and go, you know what, we're going to have a nice meal in Sydney, go for a stroll around Sydney Harbour the next morning, just freshen up, get the body going, and then get up to Cazaly's and do the business. I understand the concerns around COVID, but the situation is its situation now. They got to do that behind closed doors. Once that stuff gets out in the public forum, that then gets just
bellied around
the place.
It gets
an excuse, though, don't you think, Rock? Yeah. Like, in the little voice in the back of the head, if there are a couple of goals down, you know, we've got something to fall back on here. Oh, God, we shouldn't have been in Sydney for the night.
Yeah, I think, well, Charlie Dixon's not playing, so he's one that can probably say it. If a player that's actually playing the game it's came out and said
different.
It, I think
I love
different.
That he's come out and been honest. I like that.
You say that go to Sydney, have a nice meal, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. They didn't land until 9 o'clock, so they're not getting to the hotel until 10 o'clock in Sydney. So it is. Well, I agree with Charlie. I think it is a bit of a shit show. You're flying up there late at night. You get there at 10. You drop your bags at a hotel. And you know how hard it is to perform on the road. Mm-hmm. But when you got to go somewhere else, stay there a night, then pack your bag up again, go again up to Cairns, not get to the hotel after your training run until 9 o'clock again. I think it's far from ideal preparation. So I think the preparation side of it and also the COVID side.
So you're comfortable with the conversation that's been made public now? Do you think that?
Yes,
I'm worried
that
it can. My point is that it starts to affect the team.
100%.
That's the biggest concern here. I don't like that messaging's come out public. If you're not happy with the situation, that's got to happen behind closed doors where the rest of the playing group doesn't hear it because they don't need that just ringing in the back of their mind. You know what it's like. Your mindset's so important to you on game day. Little things like this can get into your mind, and as much as you think, oh, no, I can put it behind me, just a little voice in the back of your mind from time to time can become a bit of an issue.
Yeah, well, it can be, but I don't think it's going to affect them because I think they're mature enough, the people around, if that's going to affect them that Charlie's come out and said that, because I would imagine they're all thinking the same thing, that it's a bit of a shit show, but they've got to go up there and play.
Righto, let's do this. 133353, Triple M family, please get involved with this. Are Port Adelaide sooking it up, or do they have a right to complain here about spending one night in Sydney? 133353, hit the phones right now. We've got $100 vouchers, meat packs, K-Roo meat packs to give away. Lean, clean, nutritious, and delicious. K-Roo Kangaroo available at all leading supermarkets. 133353. 353, are the Port Adelaide Football Club sooking it up? We'll take your calls next. $100 meat packs to give away. Triple M! Triple M! 104.7 on the dial, or you can get us on the listener app, LISTNR, Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tom Ohm, we're smack bang in the middle of a phone topic. Are the Port Adelaide Football Club sooking it up because they had to stay overnight in Sydney? Charlie Dixon wasn't too happy about it.
A bit of an absolute shit show here, mate. It's a bit silly, really. I mean, there is a direct flight. I know we've got a partnership with Virgin and all that sort of stuff, but to get people to where they need to be straight away and to keep us out of harm's way, as they say, you'd think you'd want to just put us on a Jetstar flight, which leaves, you know, 6 o'clock yesterday morning.
Now, we've shared our thoughts on it, and I think me and you are in the same camp there, Ferg, with Rocky a bit different. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I just think that it's an opportunity. Obviously, you're flying in a little bit later than you'd like to Sydney, but go for a nice walk around the Darling Harbour the next morning, loosen the legs up. Enjoy the sunshine. It's a magnificent spot, Sydney. Mm. And then make your way to Cazaly's and enjoy a win up there against the Saints. So I just feel like there's too many positives to do.
Yeah, I think the key word in Charlie's there was keep us out of harm's way. So I think they're fed up with the COVID rules that they've got to live by. They're under tougher restrictions than what everyday people are, and they have been for a couple of years. And I think you can see in that tone that they've just had enough of that, and he thinks, if you're going to make us live by all these restrictions, make us wear masks in the footy club when we're doing weights around only each other. Mm. They test RAT test every day, every day, and then you put us on a public flight to Sydney, keep us in Sydney for a night around a lot of people. Like, where does this end?
Yep. The concern is the messaging being so public now and that ringing in the players' ears going into the game. That's our biggest concern, I reckon, Tomo, isn't it?
133353, Port Adelaide sooking it up as we go to Manapara. We got Andy there. G'day, Andy.
G'day, lads. How are you?
Yeah, very good, well. Mate. What's your thoughts?
Look, I'm a Crows man, and I've got to agree with Port on this. I think it's ridiculous. You know, from the moment they leave till they get there, it's all about preparation for the game. It doesn't matter what team it is. And if they're getting, you know, mucked around going from here to there, stay here, go back, that's got to mess with the heads on any team. In today's time, put them on a flight that goes straight to there and a flight straight home, no matter who they are.
You don't reckon that they're earning enough money that they, you know, just maybe one little trip over to Sydney beforehand, Andy?
Nah, look, they've had to do it hard with like everybody else has in the COVID. They've been in hubs, they've been all over the place, kept them all safe and everything. And here we are just messing them around people again, you know? You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, no, cool. Fair call, Andy. Who we got there, Rock?
We got Bryn from Para Hills.
Bryn, you there?
G'day, guys. I'm an expert, and I'll just give you a little scenario here. Try flying back from Croatia to Lewis Norton on the day and 2 days before you, you're actually going on holidays to New York, to be sent because you can't land in Lewis Norton to Dundee. You're being undeployed in Catterick, which is about 200 miles from Dundee. Fly back to Bryce North the following day to be bussed up to Dundee, I'm sorry, to Catterick, to be demobilised and then go back home. To jump on a flight at 1 a.m. in the morning. When you get home, 6 a.m. in the morning to go to New York with your wife. And she's not seen you for 6 months. All I say here with Port Adelaide, Dix has made this public. Suck it up. You paid a lot of money. If you guys sit around, I'm a Swans man. Now, you guys are saying we can get our season on track. Show the public now that your season's getting on track and just put up with a blip in your travel arrangements.
Yeah, understand that, guys. Bryn. Great passion, actually. Great passion.
Yeah, he wanted
doubt.
It, didn't he?
Yeah, he was pretty fired up there. You got a text from SA Redback, is that right there, Fergie?
Oh, yeah, one of the Strikers boys. Tommy Kelly's pretty passionate about his footy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's not sold that it was the right thing to be coming out in the media.
Yeah.
He said they're sucking it up a little bit. A night in an elite hotel in Sydney, getting paid to do it.
Yep.
Also, ACDC getting him going for the weekend again. He loves the Dead Set Legends.
Perfect. I love that. As we go to Bianca. Bianca, Port Adelaide sucking it up or not?
I think Charlie needs to get over it.
Yeah, right. Wow. Why is that?
Well, I really think there's no difference to maybe, you know, for example, playing in Alice and you fly in a day early and have to stay overnight there before your game. So what's the difference staying overnight somewhere else?
Because you're flying directly to the place you're going to play. They've got a stopover and they've been exposed to a lot of people in Sydney. I think, wouldn't it be better to have a direct flight? They've got a charter flight home after the game tomorrow night.
Yes, I think it would be better to go direct, but there's a lot worse things going on in the world at the moment. And if that's what they're talking about, then I think they need to get over it.
Yep, no, fair call, Bianca. That is it. A mate of mine's just sent me a text here. He said, you need to lighten up, Tomo. He goes, you've been on that many direct flights home from Cairns from footy trips. It's not funny, which is so true.
Yep.
Imagine that. Your footy trip in Cairns and you got to stop in at Sydney. No thanks. Yep. Triple M, 104.7 on the dial, or you can get us on the listener app, LISTNR. The podcast will be up very, very shortly. Make sure you download that. And Triple M, rocking football. From 11:30 today.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends, AFL newsbreaker, Jay Clark.
He joins us every single Saturday morning here on the Dead Set Legends. And my mail is he's had his rig out for a week in Noosa, which is very, very interesting. Jay-Z, you got us.
Yes, that's true, boys. But it's fair to say he did absolutely hose down on me for the first 2 days. So you take your family up to Noosa, you want one dose of sunshine before the Melbourne winter sets in. And dead set rain for the first 2 days. So that was a frustration.
Unlucky, mate. Now, Jay-Z, I want to talk about the West Coast Eagles, mate, about what's going on with their rebuild. Obviously been smacked the last two games at Optus Oval, and then they come over here and Port Adelaide had their way with them.
Yeah, so the rebuild is on, and Coach Adam Simpson acknowledged that publicly for the first time. He called it a transition. We'll call it a rebuild. A team that hasn't had a first-round draft pick since Andrew Gaff pick four back a decade ago has found itself falling over the edge of a cliff. And now the question's asked, okay, should you guys have read the play and knew this was coming last year and been more proactive at last year's trade period? Or how assertive do they get at this year's trade period? Now, we know they've got some veterans on big money, and the question's going to be asked about Jack Darling. Now, he was booed last night, and that really moves the needle on that sort of a conversation. So there was the vax debate. Was he going to be there? He missed the preseason. Last night, he gets booed. He's been out of form. And you look at a team like Western Bulldogs, who desperately need to support Aaron Norton in attack, and you can draw all these sorts of scenarios. But it will be interesting to see whether they can do what Hawthorn couldn't do at last year's trade period, try to sell off Chad Wingard, Liam Shields for another top 20 pick, and whether Jeremy McGovern or Elliot Yeo or Jack Darling can attract that same sort of interest in this year's exchange period. Is there anyone that stands out to you guys who you think West Coast should get really aggressive on? Andrew Gaff, for example. Jeremy McGovern's on seven-figure deal. Jack Darling feels like the one deal, Gray.
I think, all four of those you'd be happily take, and most clubs would happily take. I think Gaff's a big one. You could get him out and get him back to Melbourne. He was on a really long deal and high money. I think you could try him first and foremost, and then the other boys, because they're Perth boys, they might be a little bit reluctant to move.
Mm. Yep. Yeah, yeah. So it's certainly going to be big questions. They got pummeled again last night. For Richmond, it was an absolute clinic. I mean, you knew within the first 20 minutes that they were looking at a three-figure win. Dustin Martin comes back. I think that's a 95% chance. He's been keeping fit in his time out, Dusty. So, yes, he has been away from the club. He hasn't been doing the main touch sessions, the main training, but he has been keeping fit. And that's been clear in his return to the footy club and training this week. So, he'll get another couple of main sessions under his belt this week. Play pretty forward, you'd think, with a bit of midfield against Collingwood. But that is a superstar return for Richmond and a huge boost for the Tigers as they jump up into eighth and certainly keep their finals hopes well and truly alive.
Now, Jay-Z, my Bombers, they're bleeding at the moment. Now, they've dropped All-Australian recruit Dylan Shiel. Run us through that, please.
Yeah. Look, it's been really welcome, to be honest. I think the footy club and the players and the senior leaders of the football club, the feeling is that they've sort of been crying out for this. I mean, Shiel's been out of form, you know, for some time now. I don't think he's made the impact on the field or not culturally, but he probably hasn't emerged into that really fully fledged leader, you know, potential captain. Is he the man to take over Dyson Heppel? It doesn't feel like that. So, look, he had 26 possessions. He's a bit wasteful with the footy, you know, the defensive application. They've been all the things that have been an issue for Dylan Shiel for some time. So it has been a really welcome selection statement, and it's about sort of standards. So, Rocky, I don't know if you experienced this throughout your time. I mean, it is always big when you're dropping, you know, potentially the highest paid player at the club or certainly close to. But sort of internally, it's been welcome. And if you had any experiences like this where it's really sort of shook the foundation, shook the team, and then the players go, right, we need to be held to a high standard here.
I got dropped at Port Adelaide. I wasn't the highest paid player though, but I think it sends a statement, and it's a really good statement from Essendon that they're not performing at the level. And if you drop a big gun, then it has a bigger impact than dropping a third or fourth gamer. So I think it's really good. Yep. Moving on to tonight, St Kilda take on Port Adelaide, and we know that the Ryder Marshall ruck duo, they just dominate teams when they play together. Marshall's a big out for them.
Yeah, and I look at this on paper, and I think this is a hugely winnable game for Port Adelaide. I mean, I haven't drawn the line through Port just yet, as we have with West Coast. So I think the Port Adelaide team have got the absolute class to win this. And you take Rowan Marshall out, it's really going to test Paddy Ryder, who's missed a bit of footy in his preparation for this year. They bring in Tom Campbell, who's been very much a backup ruckman over his journey. So a big opportunity for Hayes and the ruck. Yes, they've had a sort of shocking time getting up the Cairns with a stopover in Sydney. There was some frustration about that. We know that. So the preparation's been affected. But can it be a bit backs to the wall like that? Can it help generate the sort of the desperate attitude? Because St Kilda have been one of the big surprises and big improvers this year. But I still think this is a four-point opportunity for Port Adelaide. And you take out Rowan Marshall, who's one of the three most important players for St Kilda. I think that there could be an upset brewing here tonight.
Nah, Jay-Z, you're a good man. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Dead Set Legends, and enjoy Geelong versus Freo down there.
Good on you, boys.
Beautiful, Jay-Z. Boys. We're going to wrap the show up next, lads. The Lemonheads, Mrs. Robinson to get us there. 17 minutes past 11 o'clock, Dead Set Legends.